listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
A hymn writing workshop opportunity right around the corner. We're going to talk with Dr. Vicker at Concordia Seminary in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. John Vicker, Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Practical Theology and Dean of Chapel at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Vicker, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Always great to be on The Coffee Hour with you guys.
When it's time to talk about the church's song and things hymnological, we love to sit down and chat with you. And today we get to chat about an upcoming hymn writing workshop at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis coming up very soon. So before we even talk about the workshop, want to talk about the place of hymns in our lives and, well, hymn writing. Don't we have enough hymns? Do we need more hymns? Is my question. And I know if I ask someone who's so truly devoted to the church's song, we're going to say we never have enough hymns. But why write hymns today?
You know, that's really an excellent question. Do we need any new hymns? And in some ways, I think the answer is, well, I don't know. For the average person, maybe not. You know, they know what they like and they know what they want. They like to sing the hymns that are their favorites. And I think for many pastors, they have kind of this core group of hymns that they might pick on Sundays because those are the ones that they're familiar with and so forth. But I would also say that the church, when it's in its healthiest, has always been producing new hymns. And it's part of the catholicity, what I call the catholicity of the faith. You can look at the universality of the Christian confession of Jesus Christ as Lord in kind of the universality or the catholicity of time, which is all the saints who have gone before us and those who will come after us. Or you can look at catholicity of what I call catholicity of space, which is the church universal throughout the world today. So when you're looking at hymns, you're kind of looking at that first type of catholicity of time, where you have hymns that come from all times. Like, for instance, I'm just looking at the Epiphany section of our hymnal, which is what we're in right now, Epiphany. And, you know, the star proclaims the king is here, LSB 399, you know, was written by Sedulius, who we don't know much about him, but he was one of Luther's favorite poets. Anybody who was anybody that had to study Latin for 1,000 years in the Middle Ages read Sedulius and read his hymns and sang them. So there's a hymn from the early church. You can go to hymn 402, The Only Son from Heaven, written by the first female hymn writer of the Reformation, Elizabeth Kreuziger, who was married to a professor at Wittenberg Seminary with Luther and was a former nun, just like Katie Luther, and has a whole story. She wrote one of the premier Reformation hymns. And you can go all the way up to I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, written by a contemporary, somebody raised Lutheran and was a church musician, and wrote it one hot summer driving from St. Louis down to Houston, where she was living. So do we need more hymns? Yes. Whether we need them or not, people are writing hymns, and those hymns become part of our confession of the faith and our proclamation of the gospel.
Yeah. Every time we do a Hymn Sing with Sarah episode on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge, and, you know, this just happened last week, we're covering all these hymns that we know we've sung for probably our entire lives. And yet there's still things that we learn about the hymn writers and the history and how it connects to all of these different places and times within our church history. And there's always more to learn about all of this great church music. What else do we learn about the legacy of our Lutheran church, but also just the church in general through all of this hymnody that's been written?
Well, hymn texts can be taken on two levels. You can, as informed or uninformed as you want to make, you can sing a hymn like Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And, you know, as Lutherans, we look at that text as a great Reformation, kind of a hymn on justification about how Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins. And the guy that wrote it, you know, Augustus Montagu Toplady, he wrote it for that purpose, but he also wrote it because he was a tulip Calvinist. He really believed in double predestination, and he wanted to show the Methodists that there is no synergism. We don't have any part of our salvation. We don't make a decision for Christ. We don't have a part in our conversion. Jesus calls us. And as Lutherans, we would say amen to that. 50 years later, the Methodists picked it up and started singing it because they like the atonement language. And 50 years after that, the Lutherans pick it up. So you have a great text. You can access that text as uninformed as you like, or you can say, wow, that text has covered a lot of different basis and been sung by a lot of different people, and they're seeing different facets of that jewel. That could be a little scary for us to think about that kind of history, but it also, I think, informs kind of our appreciation and welcoming of these texts that we sing all the time.
How do hymns shape who we are? How do they shape what we believe? How do they shape our ethos, our culture as Lutherans?
Well, I believe they are part and parcel to our ethos as Lutherans. You know, Luther wrote his first hymn kind of, I don't know, you know, it was in the summer of 1523, and he was very disturbed by those two monks who had been burned at the stake in Brussels because they were teaching the gospel as Luther had taught it. And so he wrote a hymn that would tell the story of their martyrdom and also tell the gospel, proclaim the gospel. And this hymn just spread throughout Europe. It told the story from town to town, from city to city of what had happened, and also the good news of Jesus Christ. And Luther started to figure out, wow, you can use hymns to spread the gospel. And within about 18 months, he started writing. He wrote like two-thirds of his lifetime output, like 24, 25 hymns. And this was like set off a hymn explosion that has not stopped since. Tens of thousands of hymns that I've written. And as these hymns spread forth, they start to shape the singers. There were so many folks in the Middle Ages in Luther's day who were illiterate. They couldn't read, but they could hear hymn texts, learn hymn texts, and sing them. And those words begin to shape not only what they believe, but also how they live. And this is what hymns do to us. They become, as we grow in the faith and as we sing them our whole lives long, they begin to become part of our being and part of the way the Word of God is having its way in our hearts and in our minds.
How does this happen? Like, what makes hymns so special to the life of the church, to the life of believers, not just on Sunday morning, but during the week too? Why do these have such an effect on us in our lives?
Well, I think the best hymns, you know, some people just look at hymns as kind of, you know, music, you know, some kind of something to fill the service in between the more important sermon, or, you know, or the readings or other things, kind of like.
It's filler. Just music.
It's just filler music.
Music. At the end of the day, though, it's really the words of the hymns that are most important. Yeah. I teach my students, you know, when you're looking at a new song or a new hymn, start with the words. Don't let the music affect you, because the music is like magic. I'm a musician and I get sucked into great music, and sometimes it can bend my mind about what I think about the text. Look at the text first. Spend time with that text. Is it actually saying something? And this is the bigger issue. The best hymns are proclaiming something in the Bible. They are based on the scriptures, and they are also proclaiming Christ at the center of the scriptures. So, bibliocentric and Christocentric texts. That's what we're up after and about with the best of the hymns. And this means that hymns are, early Lutherans kind of viewed hymns as almost interchangeable with the Word of God. If a good hymn is proclaiming the good news, just like, you know, just like Romans 3, then in effect, it is another form of the Word of God, a proclamation of the gospel. And so I think that's the big thing about hymns. The best hymns are biblical and Christ-centered.
So let's talk about hymn writing. The hymn writing workshop is coming up soon. Mm-hmm. You're a church musician. What has helped you develop your skills as a hymn writer? Who has helped you with that?
To be honest, I have not ever written a hymn. I have translated a couple of hymns from German and Spanish that are in LSB. And that one translation from the German took me like 10 years to mess around with it, you know. So fiddling with words here and there. And then the committee got it and changed some other things. So I'm not really a hymn writer. But, you know, that's what they say about critics. You know, they can't play and they can't write music, but they can all they can do is just criticize other people who play and write. I have, as part of my professional life, fallen into knowing something about how hymns are structured poetically. Mm-hmm. And what they should be doing content-wise. And so I guess I'm an expert now in some fashion along these lines. I can tell you what students who have written hymns or trying to write hymns, the kind of struggles they have, because we adjudicate these hymns every year that are submitted for our contest. And most of them struggle with basic things like how to get 8 syllables in each line, you know, 4 lines of 8 syllables, for instance, and make them rhyme properly and have the right accent on the right syllable, you know, as the line is flowing along. This is all kind of structural stuff. And then, you know, to find content that is actually something that hasn't been done yet. You know, you get somebody that writes a Christmas hymn. Hey, there's no room in the inn for another Christmas hymn. We don't need any more Christmas hymns, probably. So these are the kinds of things that I have written hymn tunes. I've collaborated with Fred Bowie and others on those kinds of things, but I'm not a hymn text writer per se.
Mm-hmm. We're going to learn more about the upcoming Prevalet Hymn Writing Workshop at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, February 8th. We'll talk more with Dr. Beaker in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Only 750 of over 7,000 languages spoken in the world have the full Bible. Lutheran Bible Translators wants to help close the gap in this generation. We can do this with your help. Connect your congregation to the global church by hosting a Bible Translation Sunday, an advocacy event that raises awareness about Bible translation. Lutheran Bible Translators provides ready-to-use service elements, a sermon outline, and more, all designed to fit your church's schedule. Join the movement of Lutheran churches committed to bringing God's word to every language. Visit lbt.org/bts to learn more and sign up for a Bible Translation Sunday. That's lbt.org/bts.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're talking with Dr. John Beaker of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis about the upcoming Prevalet Hymn Writing Workshop set for February 8th at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, Missouri. Tell us about the workshop. This is, an annual tradition, an annual workshop at Concordia Seminary. Is that right?
Yes. It's the 4th annual.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what happens at this workshop. What will participants learn?
Well, the workshop really flows out of the contest that we have, a competition we have every year for students to submit new hymns to be adjudicated and then selected, and the winners receive a scholarship that was funded by an endowment that was created by Donald and Martha Prevalet. And it was created in memory of their daughter, Pamela Ann, who was a special needs child who lived to be 33, and she loved the music that her mother played on the piano and on the organ, and participated in her own way in that. And when she passed away, they created this endowment at Concordia Seminary that funds this annual competition. And when I got here 4 years ago, I think we had one submission for that competition. And I'm like, we got to have more submissions. How can we prime the pump, so to speak? The deadline for submitting is like August 1st. So I said, okay, let's do something in February and see if we can get students to come and learn a little bit more. So we invite, you know, leading hymn writers every year to come and do a presentation. And they do 2 presentations generally, one on the mechanics of hymn writing, the bit about getting the right number of syllables and all that kind of stuff in each line. And then they do a second session on their own insights into hymn writing and the struggles they've had with dealing with particular texts or particular meters or whatever they might want to talk about. Then we go to lunch, and after lunch we have coaching sessions. So folks that want to stay in the afternoon and have something they've written and want to get some expertise, they come back, and those are really profitable sessions. We usually invite a couple of other local hymn writers as well who are experts and can provide coaching. So it's really a chance to meet people who write hymns, and then there are just people who come with love hymns, and hint, 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 it's a great chance just to learn more about hymnody.
Yes, for all of you hashtag hymn nerds out there, this is absolutely the event for you.
It's just the place to be.
I went to the one with Pastor Stephen Starkey, and it was really fun to just listen to. I'm not a hymn writer, but it was fun to listen to the lecture from him and to just learn his process and go through some of his hymns and just how he formulates them and hear some of the questions and things. So it definitely highly recommend. It's a fun time. Who's going to be the special guest this year? What's going to happen this year?
Our special keynoter this year is David Rogner, who is a distinguished professor of English at Concordia University, Chicago. And he has written two hymns in Lutheran Service Book, one that he's written and one that he translated. So the one that he wrote is 654. That is, "Your kingdom, O God, is my glorious treasure." And then he translated hymn number 620 in Lutheran Service Book, which is titled "Jesus Comes Today with Healing," another great communion hymn. And he's written dozens of hymns. In fact, he was just on sabbatical over in Cambridge at Westfield House, and his goal was to write a dozen hymns on a particular topic, which he has completed, and he's going to bring those and share them with us. So he's a really fine scholar, excellent teacher. So it's going to be a great opportunity for folks to come and sit at the feet of a master, in fact.
Is there a difference between writing poetry and writing hymns, would you say?
You know, somebody said that hymnody is kind of a second-rate poetry. By that, they mean it's not like, you know, bad or not as good. It just means a hymn has to be accessible the first or second time you sing it. More or less, you have to understand what the hymn is about. It's a poem. It is a poem. But the average person needs to be able to perceive what's going on in the poem the first or second time they sing it. This can't be like, you know, S. Eliot's The Wasteland or some epic long thing that you might spend your whole life or dissertation trying to figure out. So I think that's the difference between a poem. It has poetic qualities, but it's in strophic form. So that means it has verses or stanzas that repeat. It's usually paired with a melody that is strophic in that way. So you sing it five or six times. That aids with learning the melody and also remembering the text. Those are the main points. It needs to be accessible the first time, and so it can't be too complicated.
We have our own version of epic poetry with all, shout out to the 20 stanza hymns that we all know and love. Or maybe a few of us know and love.
Yeah. Well, the long tradition of that first hymn that I mentioned by Sedulius, I think was 23 or 24 stanzas. We're only singing four or five of them, but it went through the whole kind of salvation history of Jesus Christ. So
it's good stuff. The process of hymn writing changed over time? Have there been things and ways that people in, you know, 17th century would write hymns that are different from now? Or has it kind of been the same idea over time?
I think structurally, you know, Ambrose created what we call iambic dimeter in the 5th century, which was 8-8-8-8. So eight syllables times two. And those hymns in the middle, that dominated the Middle Ages. But at the time of the Reformation, though, other meters were created. The kind of ballad form that you see with "Salvation Unto Us Has Come" or "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice" became predominant. If you get into the Slovak tunes and texts, which Jerry Vida was an expert, another great hymn writer of the 20th century, they get into all kinds of strange meters, and so, which is one reason why the melodies are often difficult, because they don't match the existing melodies in the German or English hymn melody corpus. So that, I think there's been changes in the meter. There's been changes in how language has been used. You can look at Luther's hymns, for instance. In the German, they're kind of a little rugged, a little bit. They don't quite rhyme as neatly or as precisely as we would like today. A couple centuries later, that changed, the styles changed, and the standards changed. So, yeah, there's been changes.
What about translating? You mentioned that you've translated and that it took you a little bit of time to translate a hymn. How is translating different from just sitting down and writing a hymn?
It's different in the sense that you're still doing the same kinds of things, which is getting the right number of syllables mechanically into the line, with the right feet. So it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, not tripping over your feet. And it's, but you're dealing with a fixed kind of content. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to go from the source language to the target language. And the way you do that is do a literal translation in the middle that doesn't rhyme, just tells you what's in the source language. And then you take that literal translation and try to make it rhyme. And a lot of times you're not able to get all of the ideas in the source language. So you might have to bring in another similar parallel type of image to make it rhyme. And sometimes you have to leave some of the pieces on the cutting floor. So it's an imprecise kind of scale, a sliding scale between literal accuracy and poetic beauty as you're trying to make that, find that sweet spot in the middle. So it's similar. It's a little more like doing a jigsaw puzzle than actually painting a landscape.
Yeah, as you learn more about the hymns that we have in English versus hymns that have been translated in Lutheran service book, and learn more about the ones that have been translated, it's a hard task to take something from an original language and try to make it make sense and rhyme and also match what the original text was. There's a lot of difficulty in doing that and doing that well. Do you love? I'm assuming you like doing translation. What is it about translating hymns that is fun for you?
Well, I've only done a couple.
Done more than me.
I did that Gerhardt hymn, All Christians Who Believe and Are Baptized, because it was like one of Gerhardt's few hymns on the sacraments. And it was in our German hymnal and had been lost when we went to English. And we were looking for sacramental hymnody for LSB. It was a natural. And it had not really been translated in the world. So that one was a no-brainer. But there's also translation of current world hymnody from other parts of the world, where in the great missionary century of the 19th century, the West sent missionaries to strange countries, and then the church grew in other countries, and now they are writing their own hymns and sending them back to us. We're doing a hymn festival, a multi-ethnic symposium, international hymn festival on May 6th, I believe, this year, Tuesday, May 6th in the evening, where we will be premiering some new Lutheran hymns that have never been sung before in English from other languages. So that's another kind of translating, not just old German hymns or old Slovak hymns or old Latin hymns, but, you know, hymns from Swahili or in Spanish or whatever. And that's another kind of frontier, I think, for hymn translating.
That sounds fascinating.
I love it.
I think we need to tell that story too.
Yes.
We need to know about the upcoming Prevalet Hymn Writing Workshop. It's coming up February 8th at Concordia Seminary. What do we need to know about the schedule and how to register?
It's a Saturday morning. It starts at 8:30 with coffee and donuts. Come and meet the presenter and that sort of thing. And then he'll hold forth for a while. We'll have a little break. He'll hold forth again, do lunch, come back. It's a great opportunity, informal. It'll be at Concordia Seminary in the chapel on the lower level. So when you come to the chapel, the door will be unlocked, but just to go downstairs and you'll find us. And the way to register, I didn't get that URL exactly. Maybe you can throw that up on your site, but it's Concordia Seminary. So it's csl.edu. And I think if you search there for Prevalet or hymn writing workshop or something, you'll find the place to register.
And we'll share the link in the notes today as well. Excellent. At csl.edu. We'll share the full link that takes you right to the registration. This is coming up Saturday, February 8th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, the annual Prevalet hymn writing workshop. Sounds like a fantastic time, and learning about hymns and hymn writing, even if you're not a hymn writer, it sounds like a great opportunity to learn more about hymns and how hymns are written. Dr. Veeker, thank you so much for spending the time with us this morning. Looking forward to learning more about the other opportunities coming up at the seminary as well. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. My pleasure. Peace be with you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.